I want you to get your Bible out now, and if you would, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Tonight, we start a new series, and it's entitled Helping People. We're just going to talk about helping people. I can think of no better place to start than the thought of helping people by our soul winning, telling others about Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 11. Why don't you stand with me, if you would? Proverbs chapter 11. I'll read. You can follow along silently. We're going to start with verse 27, Proverbs 11, verse 27. It says this, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked, and the wicked and the sinner. Verse 30 is the verse that we're going to use to get started tonight, where the Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would dominate what is said and what is done in this place this night. Help us to leave here a little more able, a little more desirous to help others, to help people. God, bless us tonight in a special way that what we hear and what we learn is going to be a blessing to someone other than just ourselves, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Helping people, that's what the Christian life is all about. We need to be careful that we keep our sights set on that. And there's that, you know, when I was growing up, my mom every once in a while would say to me, she would say, "Now, Jeff, do unto others as you'd have others to do unto you." And what is that? Well, that's just about how to treat people and the way you treat people. There are some different things that make a difference in the life of a church. Do you know that a church can be very, very strong doctrinally, but if the people in the church do not have the right attitude toward the lost and toward the fallen and toward each other, right doctrine alone will not build a church. It's right doctrine with the right attitude of the people that believe that doctrine. I think helping people is just one of the primary matters of the Christian life. If you think about it, if you put all the unsaved people in single file, that line would go around the world 30 times, and it would grow at approximately 20 miles a day. People are being born at a massive rate. The rate that we're winning people to Jesus Christ, this world's in trouble. We're not winning them fast enough. And by the way, that's why such a decline in the beliefs and the morality and increase in the crime. We can't get people won to Christ fast enough to make the impact we'd like to have in our world. If you stopped all births and all deaths at the present rate we seem to win people to Christ, it'd probably take us over 300 years to get everybody saved. And I'm talking about at the current rate. You know how many churches out there will not have anyone at all saved this year? Be remarkable if they get anybody saved. They would call themselves believers of the gospel. But we're not just to believe it for ourselves. We're to be sharing it with other people. I can't think of anything greater that you could do for somebody else than to tell them about Jesus and show them how to be saved. Do you know that if you help a man to get saved, you've just been a blessing to his wife? If you help a wife to get saved, now you've been a blessing to her husband. You help a mom to get saved, you have helped her children. You help a dad to get saved, you have helped his children. That you help a grandparent to get saved, you've helped the family. But boy, you win someone's son or daughter to Jesus Christ. You've helped a mom and dad. You've helped a set of grandparents. You know, you help a citizen of the United States of America get saved, and you have helped your country. You help someone get saved, you've probably helped the crime problem in our country. You help somebody on the foreign field get saved, you have helped that country, that foreign field, you've helped them. You've helped them to gain some of God's blessing because of the presence of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in that person. And so getting people saved or winning others to Jesus Christ is a tremendous way to help people. there'll be a variety of lessons that I'll teach about helping people. But tonight, I just want to start with this thing of helping others by our soul winning. I've mentioned a little bit, my grandfather was a very, very harsh man. He was a very hard man. He had been married 5 times. And I don't know if he would have admitted to being a drunk or an alcoholic, but I think that he was. He owned a bar. Not only did he own a bar, he owned a pool hall and a dance hall and a restaurant attached to it and a hotel upstairs. And the hotel was there for wicked reasons and was used for those wicked reasons. I remember when I was a kid, my mom talking to me about how some men had come into the bar and they were going to rob my grandfather. So they came in and they had the intent to take all the money. And I don't know, Dave, something just totally changed in here, and I've got echo of all sorts, and I don't know what we did, but it just, all right. So they came in and they intended to rob my grandfather. Well, he's kind of old school. He had a sawed-off shotgun that was clipped up underneath his bar, and he pulled it out and they got it away from him. And they ended up taking my grandfather, and there's a big stainless steel grill that they made hamburgers on. They could put 40 hamburgers out at one time. One man took him and held his hands behind his back. The other man pushed him over, and they pressed him on that stainless steel stove. It was on, and held him there until it had burned his clothes off and was burning his body. Then they took his money and they ran. Actually, he was in the hospital for months because he had been burnt from the inside. It cooked his internal organs. And he didn't get to run the businesses a whole lot more thereafter. And I remember he was right about 80 years of age, and he was on his deathbed. And I just have to tell you, I knew my grandfather. My grandfather was a wicked old man. That's just exactly what he was. He was a wicked old man, and he was in a hospital in Indiana. And my mom told me, she said, "Jeff, you're probably going to need to come home, and I don't know how much longer your grandfather's going to be around." And but what was remarkable about it is my mom said, "Your grandpa's asking for you. He would like to have a personal conversation with you." And so I raced home from Bible college. I went in to see my grandfather. Everybody left the room. And I told my grandfather, I said, "Grandpa, I don't know if they're telling you the truth or not." I said, "But they're saying you probably won't be around much longer." And it was just nasty. He'd smoked and drank all of his life, and he'd spit up and just black stuff from his lungs would just run down his face and things. And he called me Jeffy. He said, "Jeffy, I realize I'm about to kick the bucket here." And I said, "Well, Grandpa, you need to know something. Grandpa, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell." And I had to tell my grandfather that because I did not know how much longer my grandfather would be around. And this is what he told me. He said, "Jeffy," he said, "it sounds really good." He said, "I've been a wicked man all my life." He said, "It just doesn't seem right that I'm about to pass away and now I would turn to Jesus and get saved." He said, "It doesn't seem right." I said, "But Grandpa, he would want you to do that." And he said, this is what he told me. It was so sweet. He said, "I think I'm too bad of a sinner for him to save me." And I said, "Grandpa, that's not true." I said, "Matter of fact, you just helped me with the very first point in the whole sermon that you need to hear. Everyone's a sinner." He said, "Well, you don't have to park there long, son." He said, "I know I'm a sinner." And I took my grandfather through the plan of salvation. I told him everyone was a sinner, and he agreed. I told him that there was a price on that sin, and it would be death in hell for all eternity. I told him that Jesus Christ paid that price with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then I said, "Grandpa," I said, "what you need to do is you need to ask Jesus to forgive you for your sin. You need to ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. And when you do, he'll come into your heart. And he'll be your Savior. And when you pass away, he'll take you directly to heaven." Well, in a moment, he prayed. I can remember his hands just trembling. He's laying on the bed, and it's just a terrible sight. If just the stuff that was on his sheets and things, and he was suffering so. And I told him I loved him, and I walked out into the hallway, and I had no idea. My mom, she looked over. She says, "Is it going to be all right?" I said, "Mom, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right." They went back in, and he had passed away. That close to going to hell. Do you know that day I helped my grandpa? That day I helped my grandma. That day I helped my mom. That day I helped my Uncle Joe and my Uncle Jim and my Uncle Jack. That day I helped my brother. That day I helped myself. You know, I can't think of anything greater that you and I could do than to tell somebody about heaven. Now, if heaven's real, and I think it is, and if hell's real, and I think it is, we ought to be real careful not to get too sidetracked about this, the other issues of life. Helping people, what a privilege you and I have when we can take the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can present it to someone, and we can lead them through the plan of salvation, and they can trust Jesus as their Savior. What an impact. Do you know, I think feeding people is a good thing. I think clothing people is a good thing. I think doing good deeds toward people is a good thing. But I have to tell you something. If you fed someone and you never told them about Jesus, you would have filled their belly and they would have died and gone to hell for all eternity. And I'll tell you, at that point they would have said, "I would have rather you not fed me. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus?" If you put clothes on the back of the poor, which is a wonderful thing, and I think we ought to do that. But if you put clothes on the back of a poor person but never told them about Christ and they died and went to hell, the moment they went to hell, they would have said to you, "What's the big deal about the clothes that you gave me? They were burning off of me at this very moment." And if you gave them a choice between a new pair of shoes and a Savior, they would have said, "You keep the shoes, you give me the Jesus." But at that point, it'd be too late. I think good deeds are a wonderful thing. And you should do good deeds for people. And in a little while, I'll mention some of that in this thing of helping people in our soul winning. But let me tell you something. To take a bunch of time and do a good deed for someone and then never tell them about Christ, and if that would have been your opportunity, and they die and go to hell after you've done a good deed, I'll promise you, in hell they'll say, "I would have rather you kept your good deed and gave me Jesus." Why? Because there is a heaven and there is a hell. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We all need to do our best to help others. One of the greatest ways you and I can help others is to tell them about Jesus Christ. I'm going to make 5 real simple, quick points about it. I won't belabor this. Our church is a soul-winning church. But if I was going to teach a series on the subject of helping people, I think I needed to start at the most important place. The most important thing that we could do for anybody is to tell them about heaven so that they could choose Jesus as their Savior. Let me say, first of all, why? Why should we win others to Jesus Christ? Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It says this: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." You know, you and I are supposed to be like Jesus. I can't save someone, but I can contribute toward his desire to save sinners. And if Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, if you and I are to be like Jesus, and so you know, he is our ultimate role model. And if we're to be like Jesus, that means we need to do what was most important to him. What was most important to him? He came to save people. Now, I can't save somebody, and you can't save somebody. He does the saving, but he gives us a chance to participate in the presenting of the gospel and telling them about Christ. So one of the big reasons why we should be trying to win others to Christ is because that's what Jesus wants. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus does. You know, there are a lot of reasons why we ought to tell others about Christ. I mentioned hell. Boy, if there really is a hell, we better care about our families, and we better care about our workmates and our friends and the people that we come across in life. If there's a hell, we've got to get people saved. So, you know, every one of us were created for a purpose, and I think you ought to find that purpose in life. Now, not everybody's purpose is identical. I think a man could be a carpenter and be in the will of God and doing what God created him to do. I think a man could be a plumber, and he could be doing exactly what God called him to do. Now, I'm a preacher. I believe that's what God created me to do. Now, I don't think that my job then is any more important than your job. We're both to do our job, but let me tell you this. It's everybody's responsibility to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, my job is I pastor, and your job might be you're a carpenter, and those we could be in God's will by doing what He created us to do. But every person in this building that's received Jesus Christ as your Savior, He created you to tell others about Him. He created you. This is one of the purposes of the life of any born-again Christian. Now, my purpose is to pastor, and your purpose is to be a carpenter, or your purpose is to be a plumber, and those differ in what we do with our day. But everybody was created to witness and testify of the Savior. Every born-again person has been called by God to win souls. So, why should we do it? Well, we should do it because the Bible says it's the primary purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Number two, let me say this. Who should we be trying to win to Jesus? Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That whosoever includes everybody. Now, but let me explain everybody to you a little more. Folks, let's try to win our family members to Christ. And it's hard. It can be very hard to witness to your own flesh and blood, and I'll tell you why. They know you. They know you, and you know them, and where maybe a certain part of society, they don't know the real you, but yeah, your mom knows you, and your dad knows you, and your brother knows you, and your sister knows you, and they knew you when you were bad and when you were good, and they know. And you know what we do? Because of that, we hesitate to tell them about Jesus. And I know it can be embarrassing, and they might throw it back in your face. You may have a family member that says, "Sure, you're giving me religion. I remember what you were like 6 years ago. Where was your Jesus back then when you were living like that?" You know what you might have to do? You might have to apologize for your past behavior. You might need to say, "You know what, you're right. I was a louse. But I wasn't going to let that stop me from telling you that I love you. And please don't let my misbehavior in the past stop you from trusting the Jesus that could take you to heaven someday." My brother Randy, I wanted to witness to him, but we were pretty close. We grew up and we did everything together. And when I would try to witness to him, I got saved first. When I'd go to witness to him, he'd jump on his bike and ride off, or he would run and hide or whatever. He was my younger brother. So I kept on trying to figure out, what am I going to do? I want him to sit still, and I want to talk to him long enough that I can tell him about Jesus. At our house, we didn't have a shower growing up. All we had was a bathtub. He went in and got in the bathtub, and I thought, I got him. I went in there. He had bubbles up to here, and I told him about Jesus Christ. I told him how to get saved. I even used an illustration. I said, "If you were to drown right now," he said, "Now don't you be coming over here near me while you're saying if you drowned right now." I said, "Would you go to heaven?" And he said, "I wouldn't." And I remember that day in a bathtub, my brother Randy praying and asking Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him. And you know, it was a little tough because I think he knew every bit of trouble I had ever been in. He knew every time I'd lied to mom and dad, every time I'd done things that I wasn't supposed to do. I mean, we were comrades in crime. I mean, if we weren't supposed to ride our bikes, you know, across the street, we always did it together, so we'd go down together. But he needed to be saved. I needed to witness to my grandfather, and I did. I can remember through the years, my wife and I just hoping, getting family into church so they could hear the gospel. And I can remember her sisters getting saved in church because we got them into church. And they came to hear me preach. They thought it would be a novelty kind of a thing. And by the end of the night, they prayed and asked Jesus to come into their heart and save them. Folks, I know it's easy for us to quickly say, oh, you got to win your family to Christ. But so you know, I mean it. I mean, I don't think you ought to visit it for a moment mentally and run off and leave it. You know, it may be that your grandparents, the only one that's going to be able to get them saved is you. It might be your parents or your brothers or your sisters. But might I say family? And I think also your friends. Before I got saved, my friend was, he flunked a couple grades in school. He's like the only guy in our eighth grade class that could grow a full beard. And he was tough. His dad owned the local bar and grill, and he, when he was just a junior higher, started working at a junkyard, pulling parts off. But men would come, and they'd want this carburetor or this portion of an exhaust system or whatever, and his name was Jamie. They called him J.D., and he worked in that junkyard. And the junkyard dogs that they had chained, the dogs loved him. I couldn't get close to those dogs. You got to understand, he was mean. He was a fighter. He was a scrapper. He was just muscular and bearded, and he was a tough guy. Well, he and I were friends. And the truth is, we weren't a lot alike. I still can't grow a beard, and I'm 55 years of age. But he's a tough guy. And I remember I got saved. And when I got saved, it became very clear to me very quickly that Jamie was really not the best guy in the world to be spending time with. And it began to occur to me, I heard my preacher stand up there and say, some of you need to change friends. You're never going to be a good Christian if you keep running with the wrong crowd. And I kept thinking, how am I going to do this? But you know, I cared about him. He was a bad guy, but we were buddies. And I remember I had invited him to church. And I remember he sat in church, and my pastor, buddy, he was plowing with the gospel plow. He was letting it fly. And Jamie was sitting about halfway back, and we got through the sermon, and Jamie was hanging on, you know, the back of the pews where you've got the little songbook rack. When it was altar call time, I looked up, and man, his knuckles were as white as they could be. He was hanging on to the back of that pew. He knew he needed to go forward. He knew he needed to get saved. Boy, the preacher was preaching hell as hot. And Jamie made it through service and didn't get saved. And I was so disappointed. And one reason I was disappointed is because I knew that if he didn't get saved there, I had to talk to him myself. And I would have much rather somebody else tell he, I, honey, I would say he was every bit the bully of our town. He'd fight anything, no matter how many there were, and the more stitches and the more scars, the more trophies he personally had on his body. And I'm thinking, here I am. I'm going to be the one that I'm going to tell him he's a sinner and he's going to go to hell. And I was going to tell him he was a coward, that he didn't get saved that day in church. And I was just a little skinny drink of water. Look, I mean, really skinny. I've grown in the Lord since then. I mean, my pajamas, I was so skinny, I only had one stripe on my striped pajamas. I mean, I was skinny, skinny. So I remember it was just a couple days after that, I needed to talk to him. And after school one day, I said, hey, listen, I said, I got to be real honest with you. You know, we've stole pop bottles out of the Joneses' garage. We've soaked windows. We've thrown rocks at trains. I said, and I kind of don't have any platform on which to stand as an example. I said, but you're my best friend. And I got saved. And I just don't want you to go to hell. I said, and I don't want you to get mad at me for this, but I just, you're a sinner, Jamie, and you need to get saved. He said, oh, let's do this. He said, I've been thinking about that ever since your reverend was spitting all over the place that day at church. And Jamie Gullett bowed his head and closed his eyes and asked Jesus to come in his heart and save him. Now, his life changed some, not enough. I wish he would have changed more. But I remember one day, about 6 months later, I had five guys that they knocked my Bible out of my hands at school. And they were shoving me around. and they will never forget it. Jamie come up the hallway and seeing those guys picking on me. I remember him taking one of them, picking him up by the throat and holding him up against the locker. The other guys were watching. This guy's feet were dangling. And Jamie said, "You ever touch him again, I'll snap you like a pretzel." He took him down. He threw him into the crowd. The mice ran off. And you know what? They left me alone for the next 2 years in my high school. I carried my Bible every day. But I'll tell you, he needed to get saved. I helped him that day. I think I probably helped some other people too. He did get better in life. You know, there are even enemies that need to be saved. Teenagers need to get saved, and children need to get saved, and adults need to get saved. Strangers need to get saved. Rich people need to get saved, and poor people need to get saved. Can I tell you what we have to be careful of? It is so easy to witness to people that don't have anything, poor people. There's a humility about the poor. They get saved more quickly. But you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to be careful that the people that are successful, that we don't ignore them. They deserve to hear the gospel as well. Now, they might reject it, but that's not our part. We can't decide whether they're going to accept or reject. And so I see a lot of fundamental Baptist churches that are soul winners. They won't go to the middle or the upper class people and tell them about Jesus. Folks, we're obligated to do both. And so we may run a bus route in a middle class or an upper middle class neighborhood, but I'll tell you what we've got to do. We've got to go out and knock on some of the doors in the nicer neighborhoods because they need to get saved too. The rich, the poor, the deaf, the dumb, the wicked, the street people, people with means, even the religious people. It's our obligation, it's our responsibility, it's our honor to tell them about Jesus. Let's never get to the point where we don't want to witness to anybody. That means if you're from the South, you need to be willing to witness to people from the North. And if you're from the North, you need to be willing to witness to people from the South. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Whether they're rich or poor, how about our church be a melting pot of salvation where people from every walk of life, every age, every color, every educational level, all have the chance to hear the gospel. Why? Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They all qualify for salvation because they're all sinners. So, I should be a soul winner because it will help people, and it's what Jesus came to do. Now, who in the world am I supposed to try to help in this way? Everybody, anybody. Whether they're rich or poor, your next door neighbor, or someone that you don't even know, we ought to be telling them about Jesus. You say, now, who exactly should do this? Well, the Bible says in Mark 16:15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That ye there, it's talking about you and I. Every born-again Christian ought to learn how to help others to the Savior. They ought to learn how to tell someone how to be saved. Now listen, that's me, that's you. And don't ever be mistaken. I, as Jeff Owens, is supposed to be a soul winner, not because I'm the pastor of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I'm to be a soul winner because I'm a born-again Christian. So you don't pay me to do the soul winning of the church. I go soul winning because that is my responsibility as a Christian. Hey, and you're just as much saved as I am, which means all of us are to tell others about Christ. You say, well, you know, I'm up in years. Brother Robert, how old are you? If an 83-year-old man can keep going soul winning and keep going, that means you can as well. And you know, I've watched children learn how to win people to Christ in very young ages. I've watched 6-7-year-olds witnessing and now just about any age child could hand out a gospel tract, but I mean I've watched 6- and 7-year-olds that knew how to present the gospel that could help someone through the plan of salvation and pray with them. So it doesn't matter how old. Certainly there are limitations in capability of a young child, but at a very young age they can learn it. Teenagers ought to learn how to tell others about Jesus. Whether you're married or single or young or old or rich or poor, just like there are so many different people out there that need us to witness to them, every one of us, you know, there's somebody that you might reach that I could never reach. You know, I can remember one day trying to witness to a guy that was a trucker, and I could not get anywhere with him. And you know what happened? My soul winning partner that was with me that day was a trucker that had gotten saved. And I struck out trying to get this guy saved. And right before we left, my soul winning partner asked a guy, he said, well, ask him about his truck and mentioned something about the engine. Well, this lost guy lit up. Next thing you know, my soul-winning partner, who is a trucker, is walking out there, and they're popping a hood, and they're talking, and I'm sitting back. And before long, under the hood, he's saying, you know, I remember when I got saved. And the other fellow said, you got saved? Yeah. Let me tell you what happened to me. Next thing you know, my soul-winning partner, who was a trucker, had won him a trucker to Christ that the preacher, for some reason, could not reach. All of us are to be telling others about Christ. There's somebody you can reach that somebody else cannot. And so, why? It's what Jesus wanted us to do. Who? We're to go after them all. Who should go after them? All of us. Well, when should we do it? Well, this isn't too hard. I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. The Bible says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you know when Jesus wants a lost man saved? Right away. The sooner the better. Now, today is the day of their salvation. Now, we ought to get them saved as soon as we can. And I realize there's some patience necessary with some people. You can present the gospel and they might reject. And you may have to go back at another time. But let me say, folks, be very, very careful. I know everybody in here to a certain degree, some better than others. I don't think there's anybody in here that's not sincere. I think everybody that comes to our church, they're sincere. I don't think we're perfect, but I think you're sincere. And I think there are some people in here that you've been planning on witnessing to your friend or to your uncle or to your aunt or to your next door neighbor or to that person at work. Just be careful not to put it off too long. My sweet story. Mrs. Owens goes out and she does hair for ladies men and ladies at Bayview Nursing Facility. She came home one night and she said, honey, a certain lady is celebrating her, 100th birthday? Her 99th birthday. And she was just tickled to death, and Mrs. Owens had taken the gal a card and a gift and some extra cards so that the other people there could give her a card. Because 99's pretty good. I'm figuring that 99 is a monumental thing. And we were talking and sharing and everything, and then my wife's face just turned white. She said, oh, my. She said, I've been so excited about her 99th birthday, I've never taken the time to see if she's had a second birthday. And the next morning, I got up, and my wife was heading out the door, and I said, where in the world are you going so quick? She said, I'm going out to make sure that lady is saved. She said, I can never forgive myself if she lived to 99 years of age, and there I was right with her, and I didn't tell her about Jesus. So she went out, and she got to witness to the gal, and the lady gave a clear testimony of having been saved earlier in life. My wife came home, and she was so relieved. So relieved with the whole thing. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We have to be careful that if we put off this thing of witnessing to someone too long, you may lose your opportunity. But not only that, if you're putting it off because you think it's wise, it's got to be a proper timing. I would understand that. If you're putting it off because you're afraid, you're going to need to overcome that. If you're putting it off because you don't feel like you know what to do, maybe then you need to learn what to do. I think procrastination sent a lot of people to hell. You say procrastination of the one that didn't get saved? No, procrastination of the one that should have told them. And so, why do we do this? Why would I say, let's be soul winners? It's because that's what Jesus came to do. And who am I supposed to go after? All of them. Red and yellow, black and white, rich and poor, old and young. Who's to be doing this? Any born-again Christian is to share their faith. When should I do it? In most cases, the sooner the better. Then how do you do it? Well, one thing you can do, and let me tell you one of the simplest things for you to hear. You say, preacher, I'm a little leery about telling others about Jesus and getting them saved. All you need to do is tell them what happened to you. You see, you've been through the plan of salvation at least once, if you're born again. So you tell them what happened to you. there where it said the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. God's telling you and I that we're to be fruitful. We're to be winning people to Jesus. Now, I recommend that you get you a Bible. Maybe you want to use a New Testament. New Testament is a little bit like, I can't get it out of my stupid pocket. New Testament's a little bit like carrying a pistol instead of carrying your machine gun. That makes it so that you can pull open your Bible. And what I did, I went through my New Testament and I marked the verses that I would use. I use a thing called the Romans Road. It just happens to have all the verses I need in one book of the Bible, the book of Romans. And I use a 4-point outline. I tell them that everybody's a sinner. There's a price on sin, that Jesus paid that price. And if they would ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins, to come into their heart and be their Savior, that he'll come into their heart and save them, take them to heaven someday when they die. I use 6 or 7 verses right along with that. They're very easy to follow. They're in most every gospel tract that we have around here. It's called the Romans Road. Now, let me tell you something. We help a lot of people in a lot of ways. Could I recommend that if you help people, that you remember the greatest way you could help someone is to keep them out of hell? But did you know that hell and being salvaged from hell is not the only benefit? Boy, you get somebody saved, it can change their whole life. It could turn misery in life into bliss. What God can do is amazing. But if you need to learn the Romans Road, then get that done. You need to learn how to tell others how to be saved. Now, there's some of you, you used to tell more people about Jesus, and you've stepped away from it. You need to get back to it. Grab you up some gospel tracts. Hey, but don't only pass out tracts. Sometimes you need to actually take the word of God and show someone how to be born again. Tell them they're a sinner and show them Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. Tell them there's a price on sin. Take them to Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23. You need to make sure that they understand Jesus paid that price. And then show them Romans 5:8, the last part of Romans 6:23. You need to show them that then we're to pray and ask Jesus to save you, so that save them. And start at Romans 10:9 and take them all the way through Romans 10:13. Help them through it. There are a lot of things we help people with. I don't know how many times I've seen someone stranded, maybe with a flat tire, and I felt like I needed to get out and help change that tire. I went through the time to get into the trunk and pull out the jack and jack up the car, take off the lug nuts, put the new tire on, throw the other one in the trunk. That takes some time. But I wanted to be a help. But just like I would say every man in here, probably every teenage boy could probably change a tire for someone that needed help. Well, if you can memorize that process, surely you can memorize four points and a couple scriptures and show someone how to pray and get born again. It's not that hard. But boy, will it help them. And this is one of those things, when you're busy helping others, boy, is it going to help you. If you're ever depressed, let me give you some advice. Go find someone that's on their way to hell. Tell them how to get saved. And watch them get saved. It will pull you out of a depression. There's something that happens. It's a spiritual energy that's made available at that moment. Helping people, our first lesson, helping people by soul winning. We're telling others about Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question I'll ask tonight is this. If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. If you're not saved, why don't you let me pray for you? Is there anybody here tonight that would say, preacher, I'm not born again. Pray for me. Don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. Okay, then let me ask this. Could we say tonight then that you've heard a lesson about soul winning. It's been very simple. It's not been bombastic. It's not been anything original. But we've been reminded that the greatest way that we could help another human being is to tell them how to go to heaven and help them to get saved. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I do want to help, and I think I need to step up. I need to get more involved in this thing of soul winning and witnessing, and God has spoken to my heart about it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Amen. We need to. That's a part of what we're to do as Christians. You may put your hands down. We're going to have a time of altar call. If you need to come, maybe you need to come and pray and say, Lord, help me now. I'm going to start a ministry of soul winning. I'm going to start doing this. Or maybe you have a burden, a heartache, or a need. You're welcome to come to the altar. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to come to the altar, you come. Maybe you just need a little courage. Maybe there's a family member that you know you need to witness to and you're a little shaky about it. Well, maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I need to figure this out. I need to do this. Maybe you've been a little shy. You say, I don't think I could talk my way through the plan of salvation. Well, maybe you need to practice. And some of you used to tell others about Christ. You used to go soul winning. You've gotten away from it. I don't say this to offend you. It's called backsliding. You've slidden away from the responsibility. Well, won't you get back in there? You say, this just scares me to death. Then start out by giving out a gospel tract. You grab some gospel tracts at the usher station. There's a tract out there that tells you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. You get that tract, and you just hand it to a workmate or to your next door neighbor. Hey, I'll tell you what you do. You get your friends, your relatives, and your neighbors. You get them to come to church with you, and we'll present the gospel. They'll hear it in church. They'll hear it in Sunday school. They'll have an opportunity to get saved. If you don't know how to get them saved on your own, you bring them, and we'll do our best to present the gospel to them. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, Proverbs 11:30. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. He said this, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Luke 19:10 says, The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus' plan was to come down here, die for us, be buried for us, and be resurrected for us. His whole plan, the whole plan, was getting people saved. And if that's His plan, that needs to be our plan. Thank you, Mrs. Owens. Folks, you can have a seat.